Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is the 18th of August, 2021, and welcome to today's edition of Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, which, as you know, is the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ACE-ED.org, ACE-ED.org. I invite you to go over there, look at our magazine. By the way, we just made it bigger on site, so it's really cool. Okay, the magazine is called Equity and Access. It's an online journal. It is absolutely excellent. If I do say so myself, you'll love it. We get nothing but kudos about it. The whole site is devoted to equity in education, and that's what every single association, et cetera, okay, and every educator is concerned with top of mind these days. And even when we go into things like social-emotional learning, it boils down to a question of equity. So it's really interesting stuff. Go over there, check it out. We archive all of our podcasts over there. And, of course, this one today will be archived over there as well. We have a podcast icon. So please check it all out at ACE-ED.org. And today we have my good friend Phyllis Wolf from is here from CASE, the Council of Administrators of Special Education, which is an important group, and we just love having Phyllis on. And she's brought with her Dr. Kevin Rubenstein. He's the policy and legislative chair of the association and is also in his spare time the assistant superintendent for student services in Elmhurst, Illinois. Okay, so let me say ladies first. Kevin, hello, Phyllis. It's Larry here.
Good morning, Larry. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to have you here. Have you recovered from vacation yet?
I have. I'm getting out of the swamp of emails still a little bit. But I do have to make a comment about your magazine, and I have to say that it is definitely an incredible magazine, what you put out. And so, yeah, I mean, you're saying I don't think you can brag on it enough. We just need to give it more kudos. I know highlight it in the weekly update for CASE every
sure
week
do.
As well.
Thank you, thank you for all of that. And a lot of what people see, she goes unsung, is my great partner, Maya Appleby, who's down in Florida and puts the whole thing together and does a beautiful job of
right.
it. And I don't give her enough kudos on all this. She's mentioned, well, in the magazine, et cetera. Thank you for that. That was really nice. And now we have, obviously, a new reader in Kevin Rubenstein. Am I right, Kev?
You are. You know, I was on your show last year, Larry, and so appreciated that, and became a reader then, and so really appreciate all that you do for the field.
Well, we try, and you guys are always welcome, as Phyllis knows, to send in columns, et cetera, from the CASE point of view on equity, and to us that's very, very important, okay, as you speak out on behalf of all the administrators of special education. And, you know, this is interesting. There's been a lot of podcasts lately I've been doing. Everybody I work with wants to talk about social-emotional learning. That seems to be the big thing this year, okay, as we come back, hopefully, from the pandemic. But social-emotional learning, SEL, has the exact same initials as your Special Education Legislative Summit. Okay?
Yes,
SEL.
It does. Yes.
Yeah.
Often mixed up.
Right. So I'm thinking, when I first got your return sheets to me as we were planning the show, I thought to myself, Phyllis wants to talk about SEL too. I'll be darned. And then it turned out to be Special Education Legislative Summit. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Am I correct, Phil?
You are correct. And I'll tell you, here's another great tie-in, because we talk about mental health and social-emotional learning and positive climates for learning for all kids as part of our advocacy. So you'll hear us connect the dots with those acronyms.
And the dots are strong. They're big dots, okay, with heavy lines in between them. They do have to be connected and all that. Before we do that, Kev, brag a little bit about Elmhurst Schools. Tell us all about District 205, another stupidly named district in Illinois. Okay, I say that because nobody knows where the hell the districts are. So this is District 205.
Well,
I used to live there. I can do this, okay? But it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. Elmhurst, Illinois, District 205. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yes, there is so much to brag about. Today is our first day of school. We are bringing 8,500 students back to class today, and we are all in person, and it is just so exciting. We have a brand new superintendent. We are focused on providing 5 full days a week of outstanding programming and making sure that students have a high-quality learning experience. And, 12 buildings, 2 buildings are undergoing full renovations. So we just did a teardown, and we are doing a full rebuild of our oldest building in the district. And so it's just really exciting and a lot going on. So
that
lots
is
to brag about in
for the kids.
5.
Yeah, exciting for the community, exciting for the teachers. And by the way, I rarely do this, I learned about a product yesterday, and Mundelein up the road from you, Mundelein Schools in Illinois is using this. Okay, and say, I'll send you the podcast I did yesterday, but they've purchased these ultraviolet lights for classrooms that they can roll from classroom to other. They disinfect all the schools at night.
Yes, they do. Yep.
It's cool
stuff. Illinois has a lot of really great things going on to keep students safe and to make sure that there are layered mitigations for all students so that we can really get back to learning and make sure that this pandemic is put behind us. So.
Yeah, and by the way, I know Chicago put a mask mandate in as of today. What's going on with Elmhurst? Mask mandate.
So the state of Illinois has a statewide mask requirement for pre-K-12 schools, and that's as of August 4th. And so we are working collaboratively with our families and with our students, and know that as things happen, that our students and our families rise to the occasion. And so we're expecting only great things today.
Yeah, it's going to be. Congratulations. I think it's wonderful, and everybody's got to be really excited. Okay, and not bad for a part-time job when your full-time job is policy and legislative chair over at Next time Phyllis says to you, Kevin, why don't you volunteer to do this? Say no.
Don't you start that. I know.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Okay, so the Special Education Legislative Summit for Special Educators Advocacy in Action. Okay, I'll throw it to Phyllis, but you can pass it to Kevin. When is it? What is it? Who do you want to be there? Phyllis.
Well, we did. I'm going to start, then I'm going to toss it to Kevin because he has the meat of all the information. But we just had our virtual summit, and we had over 2,100 educators tune in to learn about how to educate and advocate all of our legislators on Capitol Hill. We began doing so in 2003. So CASE has been going strong for 18 years, and I think that we have this education and advocacy machine down to a science. And in 2015, about 7 years ago, we joined forces with CEC, the Council for Exceptional Children. They came on board, they joined us, and we became bigger and stronger together. And we used to be, the last 2 years, Larry, we've been virtual because of the pandemic. Prior to that, we were on site, and we would take a group of people up on Capitol Hill to educate and advocate around specific issues. We had about 300 going strong was our highest, just over 300. And when we went virtual, that expanded. So we are just very excited that we have this opportunity to offer all educators, especially special educators, of course, because that's our field, to learn more about how to advocate. Kevin's going to talk about some specific issues that we talk about, and how even though you did not attend the virtual summit, you can still be involved, go online, learn about the specific issues, and advocate even today or tomorrow for these same issues that, as special educators, we believe are so very important.
And, you know, I'm going to say something to you right now. You know this already, but I just want to say it. All right. We are happy via our ace-ed.org, our Consortium for Equity website, okay, to advocate for you folks whenever you want, with editorial or put a digital ad up there, whatever the case may be. I know you know that, but I want to remind you of that, okay?
Thank you.
We so appreciate
you.
That, Larry.
Well, it's true. And yeah. It's not an idle. It's not an idle invitation, okay, Kevin?
And you know,
We can plan
That's
out
Kevin's
things you want
job.
To do during the summit. You know, yeah. Kevin,
we will definitely be following
you.
Up on that.
Yes,
yeah.
Kevin, I told you
yeah,
never
we
to
will definitely
That's
be following up on
now
that
too. Yeah, it's your job
yeah.
now too.
No. We will definitely be following up with you on that. So,
Bruce
did a great job of talking about that about the summit, and you know, we have really just. Grown over the past couple of years. And I think that it speaks to, first of all, the interest in this area in terms of advocacy and people's interest in the area of policy and wanting to have a better understanding of the issues. And also just as things have grown a little bit more divided on Capitol Hill, people wanting to make a difference in the everyday lives of students that they work with on a day-to-day basis. And they see this as a real way to do that in real time.
It really is. Oh, go ahead. Phil, go ahead.
I just wanted to add one more thing to that. One of the things that we do prior to, you know, really diving into the issues is we do some education about how to advocate. As Kevin said,
yeah.
we are seeing more and more people want their voices to be heard. And I think it's really important for all the listeners to understand that you're a constituent. You vote. You have a voice. And you need to use your voice to be heard about what our issues are in special education today.
And special ed parents have a voice, too, I might add, and a loud one.
Absolutely.
You know, and you can get them
Absolutely.
Together. And yeah, I've got more and more people are getting more and more kids need special ed. And that's a question I wanted to ask you. Kevin, again, you're assistant superintendent for student services, obviously, including special education and psychological services, et cetera. I'm assuming that, but I bet it's true. Down in Elmhurst, 205.
Yeah.
Okay. Put all this, now that you're back to school, and again, congrats on that. Today's day one over there for the kids and the teachers. But put it into perspective. Put special ed. Okay, and the need for advocacy into perspective post-pandemic, because the return to school post-pandemic is obviously, and Phyllis said it before, you know, there's a split in the way the country looks at things, et cetera, all right, but everybody cares about kids. Everybody wants to do well by kids. There's a post-pandemic need. Just put it all in perspective about that. Kevin.
Sure. Sure. So I want to take us back just a little bit because we have been so fortunate to have some really positive dollars from the federal government coming the way of pre-K-12 schools and even higher ed over the last year through the CARES Act and through ESSER II and now through ESSER III or the American Rescue Plan Act. And that didn't just happen by happenstance. That really happened because of the fact that people on the ground and then people who are working in Washington, D.C. worked collaboratively to make sure that the needs of students were really understood. So really what that looks like is way back at the beginning of the pandemic in March, you know, we identified some really key needs that we thought we had. Those needs were refined over time. We put them into some legislative asks last year. And last year at the Legislative Summit, when we were talking about the potential for supplemental funding for schools in a separate line item for IDEA funds and what that should look like, we really put a lot of stock into that and made sure that when we had, at the time last year, 1,400 people going to the Hill virtually and meeting with members of Congress, that we had every single one of those people talking about the importance of additional funding for schools. And that every chance we got, when there was an opening in a bill or when we saw an opening, that we followed up with our state team leader network and said, hey, can you follow up with this Senate office? Can you make sure that you build that relationship there, and work what you have in order to really make sure that this gets done? Now, I will tell you, and Phyllis will tell you, that probably about November and even in December, when they passed ESSER 2 and there was no separate line item and those sorts of things in the bill, and we were sort of thinking, well, you know, maybe it's not going to happen. And then lo and behold, a new president comes in, a new Congress comes in, and it, in the middle of the night, the American Rescue Plan Act is passed. And we wake up in the morning to find out that $3 billion extra dollars had been added in a bill for IDEA, which is what we had been working for all along. Now, that didn't happen just because somebody really wanted it. You know, somebody was thinking, oh, it'd be nice to give the special ed students a little bit of extra money. That happened because of the fact that we in our coalition had been working all year long to make that happen. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen by happenstance. It happened because there were tens of thousands of letters written to Capitol Hill talking about the importance of that. And so just making the connection there about the importance of this and the follow-up and what that looks like, it is just so important for people on the ground to follow up with their member of Congress and to follow up and to send that letter and to, you know, do the things that we are doing and to participate in the legislative summit and to ask the questions and to do all these sorts of things. And even if they think in the short term it's not really making that big of a difference, I can tell you it's making a big difference because change is incremental, and Congress legislates by stories is something that we have often heard and that we have come to know to be wholly true. And so it takes a long time. And so we continue to work that process. This year, our legislative asks were really focused on some of the same things related to appropriations. We want to make sure that we continue on that strong glide path to full funding so that, you know, this $3 billion extra dollars that we got this past year isn't a blip on the radar, and that we continue to see billions of extra dollars poured into our schools and towards students with disabilities all across the country. We talked about the importance of mental health services and making sure that all of our schools and communities have strong mental health services and what that should look like and specific bills that members of Congress should be supporting. And finally, we talked about the challenges that we have right now with hiring educators all across the country. And the educator shortage is at a significant, it's more than a significant issue.
It sure is.
One of our presenters put it at a five-alarm fire that we are working very, very hard to put out. And, you know, we are heading into the school year short-staffed, not only in some of our teaching positions, but, of course, in support staff positions and those sorts of things. And that is just not – that's not the way to be heading into the school year. And
when we need it more than ever, I might add. Yeah, when we need it more than ever.
That's exactly it.
And you know, Kev, well, I've got you on that subject, okay? What are you doing? The buck stops with you in this case at Elmhurst. You know, you got to figure something out. What are you doing?
Yeah, so
regarding the shortage.
So we are doing everything that we possibly can.
Oh, I know.
Collaborated with our local agencies and held a couple of job fairs over the summer. We have partnerships with local universities to try and stimulate the pipeline. But all of this takes time and energy and effort and money. And so when we talk about that money, one of the things that could potentially be in this reconciliation package that is going to be negotiated here in the next month is the potential for $900 million new dollars devoted to IDEA Part D. And IDEA Part D is really focused on preparing educators and preparing special educators specifically and making sure that we have an appropriate pipeline of educators across the country. And it's going to make sure that we can potentially give grants and scholarships to people who want to go to school to become a special educator or become a speech-language pathologist or, you know, those sorts of things, because we know that when we do that, that, of course, more people want to become educators in our field. So.
Yeah, and I'm going to say something. It's a little bit – I don't mean it to be political, but anybody can take it any way they want, okay? When we say we want to pay the tuition for people who become a special educator and people say, where do we find the money? We just spent $800 billion in Afghanistan, okay? $800 billion, okay? And this week we're seeing what has happened at the end of it. My point being, if we need something, we can always find the money to do it, all right? We always can. So no more complaints about
Absolutely.
Money. If that's what has to be done, okay? Yes, well, if you teach special ed for 10 years, we will get rid of your college loans, okay? Something like that, okay, just off the top of my head. We have the money to do it, okay? And I'll say something else, and you can take this to your legislative summit. When we put money into education, we're putting money into economics, all right? Without an educated workforce, we have got nothing. We can buy Chinese goods, okay? And we don't want to do that. We need an educated workforce, and that's what dollars in education do. So when you go in and advocate, you tell them this is an economic situation. You want your state to die? Don't give money to the education, okay? And you'll have a dopey workforce that can't work, okay? So and I don't mean Illinois.
Larry,
I'm saying that generically, okay? That's what we have to do. You have to start putting some sense into these people. Go ahead, Kev.
Absolutely. You know, you're speaking my language. One of the greatest privileges that I have ever had was having a great conversation with a Nobel Prize winner from the University of Chicago by the name of Dr. James Heckman. And he has this Heckman equation, which is really focused on the economic impact of early childhood, and talks about the fact that if we invest more in early childhood education, what that will do to our economy and our prisons and our all of that other stuff, and good schools will equal a first of all, of course, a stronger democracy, but also will equal a stronger economy and stronger communities, and that is really what we're all about.
That exactly right. And by the way, we're preaching to the choir today. Okay, but you have to put this into the face of the legislators. I might add, but actually, this is something I want to talk to you about, both state and federal. And I'll throw this back to Kevin. You can pass it over to Phyllis if you like. But when you talk about a legislative summit, okay, and advocacy, I don't know about everybody else, but the first thought that comes to mind is walking up the steps peacefully, I might add, in Capitol Hill in Washington. Okay. And, you know, we'll talk about state versus federal. Kev or Phyllis? I'll throw it to Kev, but you can throw it to Phyllis. State versus federal.
Sure. So I think that, well, so first of all, we are in the process right now, both with CASE and CEC, of attempting to help people to build their advocacy network out in both of those realms. So from a federal perspective, we, of course, have full-time policy and legislative consultants like Myrna Mandelowitz for CASE and Kuna Tavlin from CEC who are regularly working on these issues and
Absolutely.
So for us. And we are so grateful to have them. And so when we think about the issues there, we are thinking a lot about regulatory issues, and we're thinking more big picture. Whereas when you're thinking about the state issues, you are going to be thinking much more about things that are going to have much more of a local impact. So Phyllis and I have both been involved in our home states in conversations surrounding restraint and seclusion and what that looks like and the laws surrounding that.
Wow.
It is going to be it's going to be conversations surrounding how state dollars flow to public schools and private schools. It's going to be all of those sorts of things that is going to be a little bit different. And you're going to be meeting with a legislator who, instead of representing 700 or 800,000 people like
right.
they do at the federal level,
right.
may be representing, you know, in Illinois, you represent, if you're a state representative, you represent, I think, 100,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And in New Hampshire, I think you represent, you know, they have the smallest
12,
representative district. I
12
think you
people,
actually represent
people.
Like...
I live, my,
yeah,
my kids
exactly.
grew up in New Hampshire. It's the largest representative
yeah, yeah.
body in the United States, our houses. They are
exactly.
houses of representatives.
It's,
yeah.
It's not
you represent
quite
11
12 people,
yeah.
but you get
yeah.
the idea. Yes,
yeah.
yes. So,
yeah, that's New
so
Hampshire.
I would,
yes, Phil?
I would, I would add on to what Kevin is saying. One of the things that we do when we at CELS with the National Legislative Summit is we encourage those state units, and CASE has state units across the nation to replicate what we're doing at the state level with all of your members within your state. So if you're looking to get connected, you can go on the CASE website and look under our state and provincial units and make contact with one of the, you know, with the CASE unit and say, what are you doing legislatively? How can I get involved? How can I impact what's happening in the state? So we're continue to do education around that across the nation as well.
That's excellent, and you guys do such a great job. Kev, I think you want to get off and get to work first day of school. Am I correct?
Yep, I need to hop off here. I've got to head into our early childhood center. So for our youngest learners to arrive here in a little bit.
That's great. That's fun. What fun. You know,
yep.
you can just have a great
day.
I really
appreciate you having me on. And just one other thing, if I could give
sure.
a plug, if there are people listening who want to get involved a little bit, you can text the word CASE ACTS, so CASEACTS, to the number 50457, and you will be added to our action alerts. And it's a great way, and so you can take action right there from our website, and we'll be able to go from there. So,
excellent. Again, that's CASE ACTS, CASEACTS, and the number is 50457. Okay? Thank you for
that's
reminding
correct.
Me of that.
Yep.
Okay, that's great. Kev, good luck today. Have a hell of a good time.
Thank you, Larry. You have a great day yourself.
I'm going to try. Yours will be better than mine, I guarantee you. It'll be more fun.
All right.
It'll
we'll talk to you later.
Fun. Okay. Be good. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that's going to be great. What a great day. Phil, just sum it all up. How do you? What do people need to know, the whole schmear here? Phyllis.
So
Special Legislative Summit.
Get involved. Check out the website at exceptionalchildren.org/sells, S-E-L-S. And you can read all of the issue briefs. You can download those issue briefs. You can email them to your members of Congress. You can take action on our website. Automatically, it will send a letter to your member of Congress advocating for the three issues that Kevin reviewed, funding, teacher shortage, mental health. There are specific asks of Congress that we have worked on with our groups. And so we would just ask people to get involved. Again, you vote, you're a constituent, and your members of Congress love to hear your stories. They love to hear from you. And the more they hear from us as a group on specific issues, as Kevin pointed out, it might not happen tomorrow, but in time, we are making a difference and having an impact on Capitol Hill, and especially in that area of funding. It was just amazing when we woke up that morning and saw the allocation for special education.
Isn't that something?
So,
isn't that something?
Yeah, no, it is.
Yeah, it's just great. Yeah. And, you know, what you're saying, it reminds me of the old adage, okay, it's not a race, it's a journey. Okay, don't expect a miracle overnight, but if enough people say enough things to the right people, it's going to make all the difference, and boom, all of a sudden it's there. Like you said, you woke up one morning with a surprise. Okay, they're listening.
Right.
They have to. They have to. Okay,
right.
Phyllis,
right.
This is wonderful. Thank you, my dear.
It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to the next time.
I always do. And by the way, I want to remind you, please send us a column. You can ask Kevin to write it for our September issue of Equity and Access. We would need that by September 1st if you could do it, or September 5th, or right after Labor Day, as long as we know it's coming. Can you get that together for us?
I am on it.
I know
I am on
you
it.
Are. I know you are. Then after that, take another vacation.
I know.
Yeah.
I need that, right?
Yeah, where'd you go, by the way? Did you stay? Was it a staycation, or did you go somewhere fun?
Actually, I went to Louisville, Kentucky, and visited some family members. So it was fun. And then I went to the lake with my girlfriends. So
there
I did take my husband for part of it, and then I had to go have fun with the
girls. Girlfriends are more fun. Girlfriends are when you see your husband every day. Okay, just like you.
Exactly.
Okay. And I hope in Louisville you had my favorite meal in the world, a hot brown. Did you have a hot brown?
At the Brown Hotel, yes.
Did you?
Most definitely.
Oh.
I did. We had some college friends that joined us there for a while and had never had one, so we all went one evening.
Oh,
it was great.
Oh, my God. They are the best. They are the best.
They
okay,
are.
Okay, look it up,
most
everybody.
Definitely.
You can actually get a recipe on the web, but there's nothing like it at the Brown Hotel in Louisville. All right. Phyllis, take care. Well, send us the column, and I'll talk
Thank
to you again
you, Larry.
Soon. Thank you, my dear.
Uh-huh.
Take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Okay, everybody, that is my good friend Phyllis Wolfram. She is the Executive Director of the Council of Administrators of Special Education, better known as CAESE. Their regular website is CAESE.org, like Council for Exceptional Children, CAESE.org. But the website I just want to pass to you is exceptionalchildren.org/SELS, okay, for Special Education Legislative Summit. exceptionalchildren.org/SELS. And if you want to do the texting, it's CAESE, ACTS, A-C-T-S, and the number is 50457. Check out what we're doing over at ACE-ED.org. As Phyllis said, thank you, Phyllis. You'll love our magazine over there, Equity and Access. And on that note, I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. You guys stay safe out there no matter where you are.